And good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining me right here, Brighty on TV, every Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. Well, we've seen the banking crisis, the contagion, the liquidity, bottlenecks, and all the reasonings for everything collapsing at seemingly the same time. Perhaps it's on a schedule versus being an organic run on banks. Well, I see on-roads and off-roads for crypto investment and cashing out of back into USD completely limited, with five crypto banks going down during this contagion in the last 2 to 3 weeks. I'm going to show you the blueprint today with the ISO 220022. That's anticipated for seven different protocols and base layering, swaps, smart contracts, stablecoin issuance, and the full ecosystem in the belly of the beast with Quant, as well as Ripple, Net, and on-demand liquidity. This is supposedly going to take care of all the problems we have, but we'll see. I think it's a trap myself.
Hi, this is Lee Allen Baker, and I love Brighty on TV.
The boosters are killing millions.
Not a vaccine sensitivity.
A vaccine holocaust has begun.
We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have ever seen in the history of this business.
The vaccinated have chronic COVID.
Hey folks, guess you heard this morning I tested positive for COVID. But I've been double vaccinated, double boosted.
They're drowning in bioweapons sludge. But a generation of patriots are standing back and standing by. Christopher Key is leading the revolution.
Good morning,
Temple. That's why they're poisonous with the water, the food, the supplements.
Confronting corrupt corporations through peaceful protest and righteous resistance. Visit vaccine-police.com to stay informed on pure blood survival and products that keep your loved ones safe. Vaccine-police.com.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.
And welcome back for the full hour here, Brighty on TV. David Dubine, I'm your host, Mini Ice Age Conversations. I'm trying to integrate a few different ideas today to give more depth and breadth to what we're about to experience in this banking crisis. This is in no way, means, or form anything that's organic. It seems to be on a timeline, along with the electromagnetic field changes that I talk about and the reduction of food availability across the planet. So I'm wondering, is it the food crisis that's causing the bank run, to use the bank run as an excuse to cover up for what would be organically a never-ending food price rises, just because the availability for us as a civilization to produce food is going to be limited by natural means? You can check out a few of the other videos I've done on that. So that's the base question to be asked during this program. I'm going to go all gas, no brakes on this one. I want you to sit back with a double espresso to relax, because by the time you're done with this, you'll go, what did I just watch? I want to watch that again. There's so much information contained. You know, I was familiar with cryptocurrency, you know, back 2016 or so, in the infancy of it. You know, Ethereum was $5 and, you know, Litecoin was $1, those kind of days. So Bitcoin was $900, that kind of era. So I was more interested in the tech, because I saw there was a huge amount of possibility to take us away from this entrapment of systems that we've been bogged down in for the last 150 years. And I was really on the hopeful side that there'd be so many developers out there that would get it, and we could start utilizing all of this immutable data that couldn't be changed, you know, to record history itself and for contracts and things that we could facilitate between ourselves and a decentralized economy. Well, that did move forward, but now it has been totally hijacked and usurped by this same power base that's on the planet from central banks, etc. So I wanted to start off here with the blueprint, if you will. So what you're looking at here are the integrations and base layerings, the behemoths of using quant and constellation to layer off for the, they call it Xinfin or Xinfin. And then we got TradeFinex, Algorand, protocols across Europe. We got IOTA, which is the Internet of Things and why you're seeing so many 5G towers rolled out. Hashgraph, that is gonna be what you consider like a qubit base layer on this to run everything else and scale from. Stellar is gonna be near instant payment, and then Ripple is supposed to solve this liquidity crisis that we're currently experiencing. And by the way, TradeFinex is gonna take over the bond market. So, you know, the blueprints here where we're moving to, and I'm just gonna start on the right side of the chart because where it says JP Morgan Chase and Circle, remember Circle depegged from a dollar to a dollar with a stable coin during this event. And JP Morgan Chase stepped in with umpteen billions to stop the flow of capital out of the banks. And there's a huge deposits coming into the too big to fails. So quick overlap here. We saw SVB collapse, but that was really pushing the rise of the CBDCs, the central bank digital currencies. So these banks are going to be deemed too dangerous to keep supply in or, you know, keep depositors' funds in. It's going to have to go over to the government, and pretty much our entire national banking system has been nationalized this last week. So Moody's cutting almost all American banks down to negative, citing huge contagion risk of what is happening on the books there in terms of underwater assets, buying treasuries at 0 or 0.1%, even 0.5%, 1%. So back to JP Morgan, that's the reason I'm starting on the right side of the chart. They're gonna put in $2 trillion of liquidity. Now, A, where are they gonna get that much? Or is it just backstops and pledges of what they have as assets on the books? But when you see BlackRock talking about this is the first domino to drop, and this is definitely not anywhere close to the end, you know, their Aladdin software out there is buying up the world completely. So when BlackRock speaks, I do listen. And when they say this is the first drop in the ocean of a complete contagion and such ferocious and all-encompassing collapse that a new system will need to emerge from that, like the Phoenix of the Ashes in the 1989 Economist cover of the magazine. So Credit Suisse, all the rage last week, SVB goes down, Silvergate goes down, a huge amount of other crypto investment banks head down to the depths with Davy Jones' locker never to be seen again. And then Swiss National Bank needs to bail out Credit Suisse. But at the same time, as you can see in the slide there, Swiss National Bank posts $143 billion loss in 2022. So where does it go from here? Our treasury is also trillions, I say trillions plural, underwater as well, holding securities and assets that they bought through the COVID era that have now gone negative. So it doesn't matter which country it is, they're all holding all negative instruments of what was supposed investment. So just, you know, I use this chart in a video I did a couple days ago. So the Washington Mutual, WaMu, and the whole Enron and all these things that collapsed, Freddie Mae, Fannie Mac, that whole thing back in 2008 and 9. So you have to put it into perspective. Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, both crypto banks, by the way, eclipsed Washington Mutual, which was the largest failure in the 2008 crisis. So just two failures are bringing us to near equivalent of the entire 2008 financial collapse. Put that in perspective for a second. If Swiss National Bank can't cover and Credit Suisse goes down, and they're talking about problems with Royal Bank of Scotland and contagion across up in Canada now, and now we look at Bank of America, $113 billion of the exact same thing that happened to Silicon Valley Bank. All these bonds, all these T-bills, whatever they bought at very low interest rates are way underwater. They can't sell it because they'll take a realized loss on that. So what are they going to do? $113 billion. Again, Bank of America, too big to fail. Government has taken control of all of our banks in America, so there will be no more failures. See, that's key number one. Now comes the Fed coin. So, you know, the bankrupt checkerboard over here, bingo. How many more can we slash off that list? It's going to be all of them at the end, in my opinion. There'll be some that'll be too big to fail, like JP Morgan, for example. But here's the thing that's going to drive it home. When the FDIC came in and took over Signature Bank, not Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank out of New York, another crypto on-road, off-road investment, take your investments, turn it back into dollars kind of bank, they said, whoever oversees the bank and the transference, there will be zero, no more crypto at all. No more crypto business. And that is what I'm seeing here play out, is the complete destruction of your ability as a citizen to get in on the crypto side of things for investments, not the corporates, which will be the ones that you'll have to pass through again to go, and it'll be another investment instrument after this collapse. So if we look at Silvergate and Voyager and Three Arrows Capital, those are the other three that round out the collapses of the crypto sphere. And then Germany just shut down the world's largest crypto. I wouldn't call it a launderer. It was a spinner, which allowed you anonymity to deposit coin of your choice. They would spin it through several transactions, send it back to you, and it was untraceable at that point. So any kind of blockchain, you know, on-chain logistics, and anybody trying to trace back transactions for taxation would suddenly hit a brick wall on that. So that had to be closed down. So everywhere you look across the scape right now, there's no way for you to disguise your transactions anymore. They're called spinners, and you know, Bitcoin spinner, whatever kind of spinner you're going to do with that. Just saying. Not that I ever used it. I just know about it. But SVB here, guess who's going to buy it? HSBC, which is down in Hong Kong. It's part of the new BRICS currency, and they're going to be one of the strongholds along with Singapore, with massive gold deposits to issue against for the new BRICS currency, dollars, or whatever that's termed as, BRICS. China as well with the gold. Now, here's the thing that it really starts to get in. You'll start to see the ecosystem moving here. DNA will be your data, according to HSBC. So now we're getting into the track trace, biometrics, verified ID, digital ID thing here. They're already broadcasting it. So what are the chances that HSBC will take over a crypto bank and at the same time also be pushing for biometric ID and data? Gee, I wonder. So this one was just on the March 15th here a few days back. This is it. When I saw this, this is the reason I did the whole video. I was trying to explain it to my parents. So, you know, this video is for my parents to explain it, because I was talking like a raving lunatic about all these interoperable and layering and scaling. And they're like, oh, okay, what? Just okay. Things aren't going to be as stable as you thought they might be. A good time to maybe get some assets out, move it to metals. And, you know, we're going to see something like that. So the Federal Reserve launched its FedNow announcement. They're going to go live July 1st. Now, FedNow can also be termed as the Fed dollar. FedNow has created a digital wallet for every single American citizen, every single one. So when I say that, you know, you could have your private wallet somewhere, or, you know, you're going to have to deposit crypto into a wallet that is a secure number of you that hold the private key, although FedNow will hold the keys for you. But this is going to be a private account for you with just a digitized number for you, only you, and that Fed will deposit directly to that account. So the universal basic income and all these things talked about will go directly from the Fed straight into your FedNow account. At the same time, they're going to switch it. You're going to get a Fed coin, a Fed dollar. So the dollar that you're holding now will change form, but it will not change name. Now, the conversion rate when this happens is still unknown, but it'll be all banks participating. So far, there's 13,000 institutions in the United States that are participating in this FedNow swap. This thing goes live on July 1st, and I'll read you a little fine print here from the bottom. They're talking about certification in July. So there's going to be certain institutions, 11,000, that's a lot, out of the 13,000 are going to be in this pilot program. So for me, it sounds like it's going live. If you got 11,000 out of 13,000 participants going in on the first day to work on scalability, and here it is, operational readiness, and you have to have the validation to confirm your readiness, meaning able to scale to infinity and handle trillions of transactions through a myriad of blockchains interoperable through quant And that's going to be the central node that feeds it all. So ISO 20022. So this is where we're going to look at today. And I really find it so ironic going to the SWIFT website, which is how we normally transfer money around the planet, the SWIFT system. Ensure you're fully prepared by March of 2023. Wow, that was a hit to the head. You mean our banking collapse happens right now, and SWIFT was already telling everybody that's getting ready for 20022 ISO compliant cryptocurrencies to get ready for March. Wow, never would have saw that one coming. But anyway, the messaging is out there. They're ready to go live with this across the planet. So they put it as a universal messaging language. And you'll read the big print at the bottom. Major currencies will be operating with ISO before 2025. Now, see, this is a bait and switch, too. You know, people were bringing this up last year about the Fed coming into the Fed coin and the Fed now. And they're like, no, that is so far away. Technology is not up to snuff. It's going to take us years and years and years and years and years, plural, before any of this tech is going to be, you know, robust enough to bring it out to the general populace and scale to world application. And here we are 4 months later. They're ready. They lied, straight up lied about the tech and how deeply they had been working with this and how far along it truly is, a mature technology ready to come global right now. All at the same time, this contagion of liquidity is happening. And SWIFT told you to get ready for it in March. Wow. So as we run through today, the ISO 222 compliant are Stellar, Hedera, which is Hashgraph, IOTA, Internet of Things. We got XDC, the Shinfin, Ripple, which is on-demand liquidity, Algorand, and then Quant. Again, Quant is going to be right at the center of the center for everything. So again, I'll bring you back the chart because I know, you know, for me, it took me hours and hours and hours to go through each of these and try to follow the daisy chains around. This is 2 days of research straight to get this one. So Constellation and Quant are going to be the two things that are going to hold it all together, the glue in the center. So let's just split off. We're going to go off to the right over here. Like I say, we're going to go with Shinfin, TradeFinex, Algorand, and the European protocols. So TradeFinex, how does this even move into being something that we should look at? Well, it's going to be the full open standard protocol for the globe for all trade and finance, all of it. It's going to run through here first. It's going to mitigate counterparty risk, and it'll have financial instruments interoperable and liquid, which tails right back into RippleNet. And you can see how these start to interconnect quite quickly. Gee, what could you use this for if there's a banking contagion and liquidity dries up, do you think? And then TradeFinex, look, the originators are going to be the same players. It's just reshuffled for more control and faster in real time. Track and trace of purchases and flows and velocity of money across the planet. You got the credit rating agencies, the underwriters, the insurers, and they're all going to be with the digital regulated custodian. Again, there's no decentralization in this. It's 100% custodian. Again, just like the banks that we understand, that's why you're going to need your digital ID to participate in this. So non-bank funders, that would be maybe some VC capital out there, but I don't see you or me in there anywhere. At all. This is just big player ecosystem things. Where is the possibility for us to exist? What, in the crack between the dash line there? It's complete control. And you know, this, they're going to create the new global bond standard. So what the contagion right now is because of bonds and T-bills going underwater. Watch it. It's all going to get erased some way, shape, fashion, or form and reissued under this new faster single point failure backstops here, the efficient processes and the leverage of smart contracts. Well, you're going to create an entire new bond standard. You're going to need a new overnight lending rate. Oh, they already created that. It's called SOFOR, S-O-F-O-R, or S-O-F-R, SOFOR. So that's the replacement of the overnight lending rate. So there's everything's been switched over already. It's just now coming into play. And guess who's on with this empowering trade finance ecosystem? QuickBooks. Right down there at the bottom, Corda and Oracle. So any of you out in the corporate world, you understand QuickBooks and Oracle. They're all integrating this too, so you can get your smart contracts, and it's going to be trade finance digitization platforms. QuickBooks right in the center. But it's all going to revolve around these smart contract storage boxes. So what I mean by that is smart contract is, this is, again, I'll come down to FedNow and also personal, private, and corporate smart contracts. So smart contract is really just me and you agreeing on something. Maybe I'm a buyer, international buyer, and then you're a seller overseas. Well, you can program in that the deposit will be laid in, and as soon as whatever it loads on the port, then the next set of monies will be released. And you can do a step down for releaser of monies based on steps of action. And each time a step of action is completed, then it actuates and allows a certain amount of that total contract fund to be transferred to the seller. What will be the same thing? The Fed now, the Fed dollar, they can program in there. If you don't use your money in the first 60 days, it loses 50% of the value. Like, they can control the velocity of money just as much as you can control the your risk on a foreign seller. And this is what it's all about. Now, this Algorand is going to be the scale here. Algorand's a really important one because I had gone into this in the African Sahel, how they're going to be used as a stable coin with USDC, Algorand, to be able to build out a new grow zone in North Africa and the Sahel as other areas on the planet go offline. But you're going to need the investment, and you're going to need to be able to pay workers from multinations using a single stable coin honored around the planet. That will be USDC. Tether, not so much. USDC is where it's going to go. So you're going to have to use these different apps, dApps, and DAGs to be able to create these smart contracts. They're called boxes. Come into that in a second. You can global, international, local, whatever. They're infinity to scale on this. There could be trillions of these at the end. And at the same time that you're going to scale up and write your own smart contracts for business facilitation of whatever movement of goods across planet, you're going to be able to issue your own stable coin in that smart contract. And this is where it gets really interesting, because if you can issue your own stable coin, it means it needs to be backed by something in there to have the value of it behind it to issue that. So what if you put one Bitcoin in there, you'd have $25,000. So your stablecoin could be 25,000 units of one, and you could give it its own name. And then payment parties between that business transaction, those stablecoins will be funneled out, and then you could turn them into anything you want, because at that point, they'll be swappable. So this stablecoin issuance to infinitum also, along with the amount of smart contracts. So if you look at the end of this, it's going to be into the hundreds of billions of stablecoins issued along with the contracts. They're going to ride on the same rail moving across the scape of business and international goods flow. Again, where does it come in? Oh, blockchain state connects all back to QuickBooks. You're going to put your invoices for what I just described through QuickBooks. Isn't that interesting? Now, QuickBooks, so innocuous. Oh, it's just helping us with accounting software. Yep. Well, they're the forerunners right here with your digital smart contracts and setting up your own stable coins. And here's what it'll look like. You go to the Sinn Féin May network, which brings us back to Sinn Féin again. Wow, it's all a circle, isn't it? And see those addresses down there. You're going to have your own address for the FedNow accounts, but this is an address specifically devoted to the creation of your stable coin and that smart contract. And you can go as many digits down as you want. I think they can go down 18 digits deep on this. So there's a lot of possibility for endless amounts of these contracts to be written. And it will be. You got to think about how much paper and paper contract is moved around the planet for insurance or finance or trade or whatever it is in today's world. It's just all going to be digitized so it can all be tracked and traced in real time. That's the thing we're moving into. But they need the contagion to be so vast and so nasty that they can move to this system. So as we come onto the break here, I'll continue with the spider webbing, but the building of the ecosystem is going to require, so far, Algorand and the creator economy has about 300 dApps that are out there. These are decentralized protocols to create, like I say, these contracts. These companies will scale as well. There's going to be more and more and more of them, but you're going to have to use their systems to be able to create these same contracts for business to continue. Now, will you need this if you're going to buy a used car from somebody? Probably. If we only have digital currency, you're going to have to issue a contract, digital contract, with the monies in there to be able to purchase a used car from a friend down the street. Because if it does go all digital, you will have no way to undo it unless you're using gold, silver, or some other barterable or tradable. You're getting locked in. They're going to know everything that's done. And what if they say, no, that what if there's a really big red button on says that we nullify that smart contract and all monies within that nullified and they get swept back over into a central bank somewhere? Would it surprise me if there's a backdoor clause that allows that? Not at all. It's probably built into the system already, although they're not so forthcoming with that, because that would spook you away from the new system that's supposed to be immutable. And we'll see where that goes. But Algorand is another one to look at with Sheen Finex. And we'll be right back after the break here. David Dubine, Mini Ice Age Conversations. Stick around, see you in a couple minutes.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Jane Ruby here at the Reawaken Tour. I hope you're all here. Come out and see me. Love being here. Special shout out to my buddy, Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon TV, who I adore and respect. Miss you, Mike. And Brighteon TV, no censorship.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
Ohio Brett here, host of the Ohio Brett Show for God, Country, and Sports on Brighteon.tv. Brighteon.tv, the fastest growing streaming TV network in the world. And the reason why it's so important, because the Lord is using us to get truth out to we the people. Center left, center right, we're uniting like never before. Blacks, whites, Asian, and Hispanics, all uniting on Brighteon.tv. Brighteon.tv. We'll see you soon.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com.
And welcome back for the second segment here, Mini Ice Age Conversations. David Dubine, your host, Brighteon TV, every Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, before the break, I was talking about the ecosystem that we're moving to as this slow trickle drain of wealth continues, otherwise known as the financial contagion, to move money from one sector of the planet, i.e. the Western bloc, over to the new emerging BRICS currency. Think about the fourth turning for a moment here. Now, since World War II, Western nations, Western bloc has been blessed with wealth abundance, and we've gone from, you know, just people living on farms, more rural and remote, all the way into these cities. Okay, there's areas in Asia that have taken advantage of it too, but there's vast, vast quantities of our planet that have had no benefit from it. It does seem that now, since this debt-based system has run its course, that it's going to shift over, and in 70 years from now, I would bet places like Ghana, Togo, Chad are going to be as wealthy as the United States. That whole growth is going to just shift over, and the debt will be reissued again in the build out of continents, plural. And you could go probably through 100 countries that will benefit from this next run of 80 years that will be equivalent to the United States as you understand it today, but the most third world underdeveloped place on the planet will be America in 70 years. So you got to think about that switch and how's this going to happen? Well, you're going to need liquidity. And you're going to also need task forces to oversee the digital finance, crypto assets, blockchain, and distributed ledger technology all in one neat little package. Inataba. Is that how you say it? There's so many acronyms out here. But this is going to be the European Task Force, the European Economic Activity Area. Now, they're going to put themselves in the driver's seat to be the finance overseers in the evaluations for digital finance for the entire planet. You know, Europeans have put themselves in this. So look at that. What every time you have to click on the thing. Now, no, I don't want you to put the cookies on it. Every website, it was only a European thing in the beginning, but now everybody worldwide has to adhere to those standards. Well, Basel III, another one. If your bank's connected in Europe in any way, shape, or form, you're adhering to Basel III, where gold, by the way, is a tier one asset. Gee, who would have guessed? So the whole European thing, again, they're trying to put themselves in with the unelected oligarchs, and somebody will be in charge of this that's never had a job and was never elected. They were just appointed. Digital finance in Europe is going to spill over from the castles on high to the rest of the planet. It's already been penned this way. So this whole thing is supposed to be peer-to-peer energy trading anyway, for you to be able to access energy resources. Again, it'll be smart contract-based. But if you look at the very last sentence down there, the systems technology collaboration between the International Energy Agency, the IEA, I'm sitting here going, whoa, what's the IEA doing with the peer-to-peer energy trading middle step here? Wherever you're looking, now it includes energy. So you got natural gas, coal, and oil is all going to be on this new digitized space that's moving forward. Energy Trading Task Force is the name of that. I encourage you to research, because anything that's bought, sold in oil or natural gas is going to have to flow through these same mediums, setting up smart contracts, payment protocols, issuing stable coins against that, or maybe taking something in the new BRICS currency that'll be based upon that. Where it gets a little dystopian is IOTA, the Internet of Things. But IOTA itself is a token that's issued in this ecosystem. It's all about tracking and tracing everything in real time. This is why you're seeing so many 5G towers being rolled out across the planet. Small ones, large ones, you know, here in Knoxville, Tennessee, there's a huge amount, hundreds and hundreds of them going through the parking lots and supermarkets. And it's a tall tube, and then on the top, it just looks like it has a cylinder. It's a little bit bigger than the pole would be sitting on. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them around Knoxville suddenly. This is the whole IoT thing. And then we have the large towers and communication devices eventually that'll move to. So they want to track, trace everything in real time. That sounds great. I love it. You know, you can know exactly when your fresh produce is arriving from a foreign market, so there's no spoilage in transit. I get it. Looks good on paper. But the digital ID that's going to be forced upon you with some sort of biometrics to be able to participate in the system is IOTA also. And your healthcare and anything associated with medical records digitized, it's all going to be under that umbrella of the Internet of Things. So, you know, when we were looking at a few slides back, insurers with TradeFinex, they talked about insurers. Those insurers are going to have access to your medical records to deem you a risk or not. Now, currently, with HIPAA, your information is solid, well, as it can be. But with IOTA taking over healthcare and all patient records digitized and put on this blockchain here, it's going to be open to those that have partnered with it. So that's all the insurance companies. They're going to really assess you on your healthcare coverage at this point. And supply chains, obviously, and the industrials. So industrial is going to be everything chemical moving forward. But they keep trying to bring out these same words, keep appearing again and again. Social impact, social construct. Now, the global trade and the digital identity, I get it. But this citizen-centric governance, okay, explain that to me. Nowhere, anywhere in this blueprint where we're moving to do I see anything citizen-based at all. You're completely at the behest of the same governments, the same banking institutions, the same finance institutions with way more insight and the ability to turn off your money now. Where's the governance for that? I don't see it. Bait and switch again. IOTA enables new possibilities for industries. Oh, the identity. You see that little fingerprint? Yeah, that's good. What if somebody steals that? They say that we're going to need it to prove you're a human because there's so much robotic activity or bot activity out there. You don't even know if you're, you know, communicating with an AI-generated personality, that they need to prove you're a human. I'm just saying, hey, I could fake a human. They could, oh, here's my new driver's license. Here's my new passport. I'm human. You know, it's just to get everybody out there and track you, trace you. But the customs border and management is a thing I'm like, whoa, this is even going to encompass all governmental borders across the planet. So when they talk about one world government and moving over to a one world system, well, we're in it, right? This is the beast right here, at least one of the beast's fingers. To be able to manage all bus customs and border crossings, et cetera, again, back on the blockchain, two participating entities will be able to view this information. I mean, right now, you cross a border, they scan your passport. Okay, that's in like CBP or whatever's database. Well, not anymore. It's going to be global for any participant to look at. And then again, you know, the e-health and global supply chain trades. But see, Oracle's involved with this too. And this is where it gets super deep. So you got QuickBooks and Oracle now with the Internet of Things, in addition to the trade finance and the smart contract issuance. They're just trying to put out some figures. They're looking for 22 billion different connected devices by 2025. A connected device would be a truck full of goods rolling from the port to the end destination of a warehouse. That's one connected device. Your phone, how many are really connected to 5G networks yet? Maybe. But the scaling at which the quickness is happening, they were saying 10 billion by 2020. We had COVID. It actually scaled from there. There was a huge amount of 5G networking interconnectivity towers put out during the COVID time. You're locked at home and they're building towers every 20 feet across the planet. Now we're well above the 22 billion. It'll be far exceeding that. And here's where we get, you know, Microsoft's involved also. You know, Internet of Things, IOTA in its own native protocol, working with its blockchain system there. Okay, Azure is the Microsoft equivalent of the Internet of Things. So Microsoft has the exact same IoT Edge. The IoT hubs are doing all the development, so they're going to integrate with all these other Internet of Things technologies moving down to be able to track things down to the second where it moves from point A to point B on the planet. Hey, this could lock you into a 15-minute city, couldn't it? I think it could, biometrically, and if they're going to track and trace everything using those 15-minute cities are going to be ringed. You know, forget the barbed wire fence. They're going to be ringed in with 5G small towers. And what happens if you step over it? Is there going to be a big red alarm? David stepped over the line. Are we going to be running like Blade Runner out of these cities? Because this is what they envision in real time. And apparently there's 24 different applications of real time of where a good sits in a truck. This is how developed this technology is. And rolling an entire container through a port to scan everything in the truck, which will require a different set of ecosystem of technology for, you know, well above RFID chips. They're too big, they're too bulky, they're too slow. Think nano dust. These kind of things are going to be needed to be able to facilitate what they want to track and trace in real time. Our old technology, clunky. This is speed of light, Aquarian flows of energy. Now going through that, do you believe I only covered the right side? That's the interoperability of just what you see from XDC or Shinfin, TradeFinex, Algorand, Inabot over in Europe, and IOTA, Internet of Things. That's just that side of the layering. That's insane. I'm not even at the middle or the left here. We're going to go off to take a look at Ripple, Stellar, and Hashgraph. So Hedera. Way back in 2016, when I was just learning about cryptocurrency, I had a few conversations with persons who were like so many light years ahead of me, telling me, you know, everything's going to move over to Hashgraph, Hashgraph, Hashgraph. And I was thinking it was a whole different protocol. Like 10 years from now, it was going to be a different layering system. And, you know, I didn't know how Bitcoin was going to integrate on that and how these layers were going to work. I was just confused. But here it comes. Hashgraph is out. And I understand now. You shall see, the light has hit my eyeballs. This is what it's all about. Now, the governing council here, this is actually, if you think about energy across our universe, you have this base layer called qubits, if you're looking into the quantum realms. Think of this as a qubit energy layer that everything else can scale and build on top of. Hashgraph and quant. Those are the qubits of the ecosystem for cryptocurrencies moving forward. Governing council here. Stunning. Obviously, DBS banking got to be in there. Boeing's in there. Why is Boeing in on this? And Avery Dennison, Material Sciences, and Global Buy-Side Finance Asset Management Company, ABRDN. Okay, these are the players on their first line. This line goes about 40 deep. And I'm thinking, every single corporation is in on this already. They have bait and switch to that. They're not touching it. Oh, it's too scary. Don't do anything with crypto. Yet behind the scenes, everybody's trying to integrate with Hashgraph and Quant on this to move forward with smart contracts and issue their own stable coins for payment. Wow. So where it gets a little bit interesting is the payment rails here. So BankX or BankSha, however you like to say that, global off-ramps and on-ramps for stablecoins and crypto. Five banks in America for that same exact protocol, that same exact function, were just completely wiped out. Oh, but there's a replacement BankSha, but it's running on their protocols and their ecosystem controlled by the central banks yet again. Who would have thought? And then we got Corda, R3, USDC, by the way, will be the stable coin of choice for this new system. And if you look at Zimbali down there, this is a digital token infrastructure payment rail for CBDCs or central bank digital currencies, which winds us right back to the FedNow and the FedCoin. That is the CBDC. Europeans will have their own. Australians will have their own. Zimbali is a word you're going to start to hear more and more. And payment rails is something you should start to hear and see get traction in the news. When you hear CBDC, FedNow, FedCoin, FedAccount, these kind of things are going to, this is the switch. They're going to revalue the money and they're going to flood your account with new quote unquote dollars that'll have way far less purchasing power in them. And it'll be digital and whatever you buy, they will know instantly. They can push or pull to create faster velocity of money to spur the economy, or they can tighten that back and cause a recession to get interest rates again under control. See, they're going to do it this way to cause as much damage as they can, but they're going to get you on a new system to do exactly the same thing with just more control in real time. Speak ill of the government, you lost your funds. Ripple, XRP. It's actually not the token. It will be used, but XRP, Ripple Net is where we're looking at here. On-demand liquidity. And what are we hearing about today? Oh, the lack of liquidity. You're underwater. Your bonds are there. Your T-bills are there. It's an illiquid market. Nobody can sell because they'll lose money if they do. Oh, this solves all of that, on-demand liquidity. Now, for you and me, we'll never participate in this. This is just for the bigs. You're talking about sovereigns like nations and corporate 500 companies that can issue debt out of nothing to themselves. The originator would be a sovereign or a corporate five or a corporate 1000. The sender, that's going to be the intermediary, again, in the same native ecosystem, probably be Stellar or XRP itself. And then the receiver, and there's going to be fees along the way. Could be a thousandth of a cent, millionth of a cent, whatever. But the amount of trillions of transactions rolling through this thing is going to make a substantial amount of money. So interest, the way we understand interest will change, and the way we understand payment systems and the movements of money, charges and fees on top of that will change also. But see how it's all going to be revolving around the XRP wallet with this on-demand liquidity. So if you're going to want to participate in this, you're going to need to be using XRP native protocol and their wallet and their infrastructure to be able to get on-demand liquidity, which will solve the crisis. It will never happen again ever until the next time. Yeah. So the receiver in the internal system, so it's like this. You fetch a quote, you put it out there, somebody can grab that quote just like the bond market or T-bills, and then you'll accept the quote and then the monies will be transferred. Liquidity will on-go forever. Now the cross-border payments will work much in the same way here. Sending institution, that would be you, the buyer. Now you can get into USDC and then that will convert over to token of choice, you can fill that in yourself, to the receiving institution, which will be the seller on the other side of the ocean, for example. And then the beneficiary will take possession of that and everything will execute on the smart contract based on events. This event happens, then there's some funds released. That happens and this fund is released. All documents will cease. There will be no more flying bits of paper around the planet. It will all be done in real time, just like this. But notice where it says, receiving institution and sending institution. Yep, they're going to scrape a little bit off every single transaction. So again, it's just same, same, but different. And this is more for you or I, liquidity hubs. Not that we can participate in it as such, but your access to it will roll through this. Just like we have banks today where you'd go in and buy, a T-bill or some sort of bond. You could get, some kind of money market. It's the same thing. You'll have to go through the banks to get it. But this time you're going to be going through Ripple's liquidity hub. It offers the same functionality as banks. It offers the same choices to be able to, for assets and investments. But it does incorporate a little more of the known coins like Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, which, by the way, is going to be in everything. As you can see, if you go to the belly of the beast, Quantum Constellation, what's above that? You see Ethereum, but look how tiny that is in the entire ecosystem. Right now, the behemoth is Bitcoin and Ethereum. It's dominating everything. But look at the new system. That barely registerable in there. If I didn't look deeply enough and see the purple around it, Ethereum would have disappeared in the backscape. So think about how big these ecosystems are going to become and these native blockchains are going to be with the world's finance flowing through it all at the exact same time. Now, Hypergraph, not Hashgraph, but Hypergraph is connected right over to, right here on the bottom, Constellation. This is going to be proof of reputable observation, meaning if your node's running and it's more reputable in the time it closes blocks and sends them on, and there's no difference or issues taking back transactions, etc., you're going to have a higher score. It's almost like a social credit score for those running nodes to be able to get liquidity pushed through it instantly with no questions asked. Of course, JP Morgan will have one of these prime positions. Truly interoperable, supports endless types of state channels. Yeah, I just described all those to you. Endless and infinitely scalable as well. These DAGs, which you got dApps and DAGs. And if we go over to look at DAGs, it's directed oscillic graphs. And it's just a different way to issue smart contracts and push payments through without having to use their ecosystem of 300. It's the same, same, but different. It's on a different level and you can scale it in different layers. So it's infinitely scalable. When you talk about the infiniteness of the universe and infinite dimensions, you're looking something at the same here, but just in a different scale. So what I'm talking about is Hilo chain with a DAG on the far right there. Look at those layers of green. That's what I'm talking about. The interoperability, scaling of all these layers within each other, interlooping and interplaying. That's where they're moving to. And this typical blockchain, super old school thing here, they had scaling issues from the beginning. That's why Bitcoin forked off and why Litecoin and Bitcoin Cash. Quant is where it is. This is it. This is the behemoth of the behemoth. Think of it as the bank for international settlements. Think of Quant as the new BIS. Empowering an interconnected world, they serve bank, asset managers, financial institutions, enterprise, technology partners, fintech developers, and a host of others. Let's talk. Okay. Hey, let's talk about carbon credit platforms. Yeah, I forgot. They're going to be running all the carbon credit schemes that you'll need to pay for if you buy a good. I want a glass. I want this glass of water here. Oh, what's your carbon credit? How much carbon did it take to produce that? Supply chains, everything's going to be paperless. Quant's going to make sure that that happens, which brings us right back to the boxes again. Everything's going to be smart contract, no paper. You see how Algorand's blended back in again. They all just interloop on top of each other. And distributed ledger technology, DLT market, $3 billion, and it should be jumping to almost $40 billion by 2025. So that is, 13x increase in a few years. We're coming up to the last minute here, so I'm going to try to roll through the global industry. Got to be compliant. So anything that's going to roll in the system is going to be compliant. This is not financial advice. These are the prices of all the tokens being used in the new system that are being set up. Now notice the 30-day at the very bottom. Look how much they crashed. Somebody swooped them up at discount prices, and now that game on, look at XDC, the beginning of it all, the Sinn Féin, oh, it's up 25%, is it not? So you can start to see who's integrating what and what's go live right now based on the pricing and the movement and the market cap in these coins here. So right there's your list, not financial advice, but look at some of these prices. Can you imagine getting Ethereum at like 4 cents? you know, XRP, the conjecture was $1,000 coins in the future, you know, all these kind of things. So where does the ecosystem leave us now? You can definitely see we're moving from here to there. I hope it helps you make a better choice, but I would definitely consider some gold and silver in this too, not just putting my faith in some digits that can be controlled. Do thank you for watching. I'll see you next week. Bye for now.